Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you guys, but have you been to the Navman website recently? I always go before I record this show just to have something to look at while I talk to you about Navman, and I'm noticing a bunch of new products, quite a bunch of new dash cams, actually, and I'm seeing some that start from $139, and I don't know if I'm seeing these ahead of their announcement because I didn't know about them. And that excites me in many ways. There's some dash cams that are becoming very affordable, very discreet, and very usable. There's one product actually that exists on the Navman website, which is sold as an accessory to existing dash cams, and it's an in-cabin camera. And it's fascinating to me that not enough people have these, because how many times have I been into an Uber or, you know, a taxi or something like that? And not everyone has these types of cameras. Taxis tend to have them. Ubers certainly do not. And I'm telling you what, if I was an Uber driver and they're always getting in the back seat, you can't see them because you're focusing on the road, I'd like to know what's actually happening and always having that evidence if something was to go wrong. And in fact, even just knowing what they're up to in the back seat while you're driving, or if they do the runner, or if they, heaven forbid, actually try and attack you. This stuff happens. I'm not trying to scare any Uber drivers out there, but it's a reality, unfortunately. Now, these bolt-on accessories, like the USB in-cabin camera, we're talking about a $200 camera that's actually going to also film really well at nighttime. And that's the important part here, is even when the cabin is completely dark, you'll have that kind of night vision that it can still continue to capture and record. Again, only for your protection. All of these products, you know, dash cams, and the internal, the rear camera, the whole thing, the only reason we talk about them is really for your own benefit. It's only for your own evidence and to try and keep you safe and protected. Now, do head to the Navman website. There seems to be a whole bunch of new products there, which I'm sure we'll cover off in recent weeks to come. But stay tuned for what will be a very jam-packed show. And it's all Apple-flavored.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
Now, that is the introduction that actually gets played when I'm a guest on the Bowen's Garage podcast, and I encourage you to check that out. We do have a tech segment there whenever we do the show. It's funny enough, the reason I mentioned Bowen as well is actually the bottle of wine that I have in front of me today. It's not from his vineyard, but it's called Bowen Estate. And this is a Cabernet Sauvignon from the Coonawarra, which is one of my favorite places for Cabernet. And this was actually a Father's Day gift. And honestly, it's quite nice. It's quite nice. As expected, from the region, I'm getting good Cabernet. Who would have thought? I had never had this brand or this particular bottle before, and I can tell you it's absolutely lovely. I really should have put a leg of lamb in the oven before I cracked this bottle, because it would just pair so well with a roast lamb or even a beef or maybe some brisket. Anything meaty, anything red meat, I think this would be absolutely perfect with. It's absolutely delicious, and I love pulling a cork out of a bottle. I do have a very large, it's called a demijohn, which is basically a very big glass wine cask that would have been used in the old days. I do have one in the house, and what I always do with my corks is I like to write something on them that's significant about that day, and then stick it into there. And who knows, one day maybe I'll empty them out and pull out, you know, corks from my wedding or corks from when we knew we were having a baby, those kinds of moments, or even Christmases and so on. It's just one of those weird collections that I have. I'm sure everyone has a collection of something at home, right? Now, we are going to talk about Apple today. No real surprise, but yes, we'll be talking about everything that Apple announced at their major event. If you're not interested in Apple products, this is not the show for you this week, but we'll be back again next week and you can listen to that one. Otherwise, get ready for what's going to be a full show talking about the entire rundown. And before we get into that, actually, I wanted to quickly mention, I got sent today a tablet stand. I mean, it's primarily going to obviously suit Apple devices, because I think most people in the tablet world have iPads. However, it would obviously fit a Samsung tablet or a Surface or something else. This is absolutely amazing. It's called, it's from 12 South, and it's called the Hover Bar Duo. Now, it basically has a strong base with a multiple point arm where you can bend it in all different angles and things like that. You can take it off the base and actually put a shelf clamp onto it, which also comes in the box. And it's staring at me now, and it's going to actually have me using iPads again. I've had an iPad Pro for a while. It usually sits on the exercise bike. But now with this stand, it really has changed my thought process into how I use them. Because it's on an arm, it can really be out of your way. And That's a huge benefit to me, and it's a strong stand. It's not flimsy. It holds the iPad in tight. I use the iPad Pro, so I'm using the biggest, heaviest model I could, and it holds it really nice. The one thing I'm going to mention with this too is I started using it for Microsoft Teams meetings or Zoom meetings, and I've put it on a shelf. So that way when I'm in those kinds of meetings, I stand. I get out of my desk, and I actually stand for those meetings. I put my AirPods on so it connects to the tablet straight away. The camera's good on the iPads, and it has completely changed the way that I'm using my iPad. And it's nice to see. And sometimes it takes a new product like a simple stand to make that all come to life. Now, Apple. We had it would have to be their biggest event of the year so far. And Apple live streamed it. It was a virtual event. I found out about it as the same time as anybody else listening. However, Apple also does send virtual invitations to the press, to the media, to invite them and to make sure that they're aware that there is an event coming up and that they can tune in. I don't get those emails. I just don't. And I don't know, well, I do know why in some ways, but I also don't get it. It seems like a bit of a weird way to treat people, but I still knew about the event and I still, for whatever reason, woke up at 3 a.m., or actually earlier than that, so that I could cover the event. And it is weird. I'll be honest, it's weird. It's a weird thing to lose sleep over, but it just happens that way, that you are doing so much sometimes for a brand and they don't even want to talk to you. However, you need to know about the latest Apple products. I need to know about the latest Apple products, and that's why we are here today. I'm super excited, actually. I'm super excited. So without further ado, let's have a sip of this glorious Cabernet Sauvignon and start to unpack everything that was announced from Cupertino. Now, waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning, what was different for me this year compared to previous years is that I now have a website to write for, officefortomorrow.com. And with that means that I could cover this news as I wanted to, without it being a story that I needed to pitch to, say, The Australian, Men's Health, Seven News, or whoever. And that changes the way that you watch these events, because you're starting to think, okay, I need to write my own story. I want to make sure it's live as soon as possible, so that when people in Australia wake up, they've got an article ready to read. And I'm sure that a lot of you, if you follow me on my Facebook page or Instagram or Twitter, you would have seen that link shared, hopefully, when you woke up that morning. But we're going to talk a bit more about just what was announced and what we actually think of what has been announced as well. So let's start straight with the iPhone 13. I think it's important to call out that rumors only set us up to be disappointed. And there is so many leaks, rumors, and things like that that will literally circulate from the day after an Apple event for the next 12 months. So I'm sure that tomorrow I will open up a web browser and find rumors of what the iPhone 14 will look like. And that's a problem. And it's a problem because we start to see fake images, we start to hear about technology that might be coming, and none of it's confirmed by Apple. So when we do tune into these events, we have our expectations set at an unrealistic level because we've built up that surprise ourselves. It's almost like assuming you know what Santa is going to give you for Christmas, and then when it actually happens, you're not happy with what you've received. So the iPhone 13 was an incremental upgrade. It realistically could have been called the 12S. In fact, they probably would have come off a bit better if they had called it a 12S and not a full step change through number, because that does usually, in the past, it usually signifies a larger upgrade. If you think about what the iPhone 5 looked like compared to what the iPhone 6 looked like, dramatically different. You look at what the iPhone 6 looked like to the iPhone 7, again, somewhat dramatic, especially in terms of screen size and things like that. So when you do a step change, it does come with it normally a higher level of expectation. However, iPhone 11, iPhone 12, and now iPhone 13 look very, very, very similar. One of the big differences that you'll notice when you look at the iPhone 13 compared to the 12 is in the rear cameras. Now, they have upgraded the cameras and they made quite a big speech around the upgrade of those cameras. However, the most visible thing that you would notice by picking up an iPhone 12 and an iPhone 13, looking at it from the back, is that the 12 had the rear cameras stacked vertically. Now they are diagonal. So you have a camera at the top left corner and then one beneath it, but a bit nudged over to the right-hand side, whereas with the 12, they were directly underneath each other. That is innovation. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is 12 months at least 12 months of innovation out of one of the largest tech companies on the planet. Not only do they still have two cameras on the back, but they're now no longer right beneath each other. They've moved them so that they sit diagonally. And if you don't think that's innovation, then get off the bus. Because that's what sells phones, guys. That right there is what sells phones. Now, if we get a little bit serious about what they actually announced, fortunately, the base model of the iPhone 13 will no longer be, well, sorry, the base model of the iPhone will no longer be 64 gig. The base model will now be a whopping 120 gigs of storage, which is fantastic. Honestly, it's fantastic. It's the base storage of the Samsung Galaxy S20. For the last couple of years, S21 had 128 gig as well as base storage. Fantastic. It's good that Apple's doing this. It's the right move to make, especially when the cameras are taking better quality video and images. They're naturally going to take up more space. There's no expandable storage on these kinds of devices. So fantastic. 128 gigs is a nice start. The iPhone 13 will also go up to 512. And we will talk about the Pro. You'll also hear that it now goes up to 1 terabyte. Maybe they don't believe in cloud storage, but that's the way it is. If you want to store everything on that phone in case you ever lose it and make sure you lose literally everything you've ever taken on that device, then they can give you a 1 terabyte option to make sure you literally lose everything. Now, at 128 gigs, fantastic. They're coming in also at the same price point, guys. This has to be a nice credit to Apple, is that by literally almost changing nothing, they've also been able to maintain the price, and I do appreciate that. What they have said, however, is that you do have a 28% brighter display, obviously faster processing. How could they ever release a phone and say it's the same? Faster processing, longer battery life. Now, this was interesting. Apple made quite a speech around battery life, and this is rare. Normally, battery life is not really mentioned, or they'll say it does all these extra things and we've maintained battery life. But this time, they said that battery life can be between 1.5 hours to 2.5 hours longer. In a 24-hour day, that's not a huge amount of extra battery life, is it? I mean, if I think about a smartphone being able to normally last maybe 18 hours, okay. So you're going to get me to 18 and a half hours. I don't know if that's life-changing. And what's interesting there is I heard that. And I went, okay. I mean, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But I read so many other opinion pieces that said it was a major upgrade, that the battery must be phenomenally changed, even if it's just from a technology perspective, to be able to get that extra capacity, that extra not just capacity, but that extra technology to manage battery life so much better that it can do that. And it made me wonder. I mean, Samsung don't talk about battery life so much. They maybe mention the milliamp hour size of their batteries. I thought, let me just have a quick Google. So anyway, this takes 5 minutes, but a lot of journalists don't like to spend 5 minutes doing that. What they would rather do is just hype up about what they've just heard. The Galaxy S20, 2 years ago. And I'm not comparing battery life between this and the iPhone 13. I want to compare battery life between the S20 to the S21, because that's 1 year apart, just like the 12 and the 13 was. Talk time on the Galaxy S20 was rated at 25 hours. Now, this is just what the brand says. This isn't tested from me. This is just what the brand says, just like what Apple did. So 25 hours talk time on the Galaxy S20. On the Galaxy S21, talk time was 41 hours, almost double the battery. How would I call it? Battery length in terms of how long it could handle talk time for. 25 hours in the Galaxy S20, 41 hours in the S21. That to me sounds like something they should have spoken about. Given that when Apple extends battery life by up to 2.5 hours, I mean, 2.5 hours, guys. Samsung extended battery life by something like 19 hours. I can't do the maths, but 41 minus 25, it's a good number. And Samsung didn't make a billboard for it. They probably should have. Anyway, moving on from that, I mean, if you're excited by an extra hour and a half hour battery life, great, I guess. But maybe it's just not that much of a big deal, in my opinion. Now, interestingly, and I'm going to be positive about this. Trust me, I am. We heard a lot about the notch disappearing from the iPhone. And I think that was genuinely because we've started to see the notch disappearing from literally every other brand of phone, whether it's just having a hole punch camera, or if you think about, say, the Galaxy Fold, the most recent Fold, where they've hidden the camera underneath the screen. The camera literally is invisible because it sits behind a bunch of pixels, which is the screen. So where some brands are making the camera entirely invisible, it was probably a good expectation or a good rumor that you could say, well, maybe Apple's ready to do the same. Nope. What they did do, however, is reduce the size by 20%. Will you notice the 20%? Maybe you will. But at least they've decided to hold onto the notch as a good characteristic, a good sign of knowing that you're looking at an iPhone 13 or 11 or 12. But anyway, the front notch is still there, but they are saying the cameras are better, and I do believe this. Apple do make some of the best smartphone cameras. They always have been up there as some of the best cameras and definitely some of the most easiest cameras to get a good picture from. One of the things that they're adding this year is cinematic mode. This isn't just for the Pro. This is for the iPhone 13 across the range, whether it's the Mini, which I can't believe they're still holding on to, all the way up to the Pro Max. Cinematic mode is a thing. And what it really does is it means that, say, for example, someone is filming me. You can be in full focus on me while I'm talking. But then, what if you want to focus on what's behind me? Maybe a bottle of wine that's on the shelf, where here I am talking about the Bowens Estate Cabernet Sauvignon. And I turn back and I look at the bottle that's sitting on the shelf. And as I do that, the focus will shift from me to the bottle of wine. And it does that in a very blurred effect, much like you would normally experience when you're taking portrait photos on an iPhone. So there's a nice benefit there, and I think cinematic mode is beautiful. I think the way that they demonstrated it, especially obviously with amazing lighting and a good experience to film, they certainly produced some amazing video out of the iPhone 13, and I think that's a credit to them. What I also think, however, unfortunately, is that generally when you think about the normal consumer of the iPhone, I don't think they're going to use that feature as much as Apple thinks. I certainly think there is a niche of people who like to make short films or are very fussy when it comes to taking photos or video that they will flick to cinematic mode and they'll make the most of that. But when you're filming your kids at the park, I just don't think you care about whether your kid's mostly in focus compared to the ball that they're kicking compared to whatever. Or if I'm taking a photo of my food or if I'm videotaping something, I just don't think cinematic mode is going to change the game, but I think it's a great feature that they've added. So this is a credit. This is a credit to Apple that they've added a feature that 2% maybe of the population will actually care about. However, it's there and it's a good upgrade, which you won't see on the iPhone 12. Now, they've also innovated in colors. They now have gone from, I think they had three colors in the previous model. They had four. They've added a pinkish chamomile lotion looking color. So you've got red, which is called product red. You've got white, black. You've got a blue and chamomile lotion. It's not actually called chamomile lotion, but that's a pretty good reflection of exactly what it looks like. You know when you had the chicken pox? That's what you'd put on. So you can now put that next to your face while you're talking to people as well. It does have MagSafe just like the previous models. It has got water resistance. It does shoot 4K and it's 5G. 5G across the board, as you should expect by now. And we're seeing devices at $300 with 5G. This is also expected. So it's a good upgrade. If you're coming from an iPhone 10, from the amount of radio calls that I did around this event, it's funny how much media attention this event does get, but it happens. People will always say, well, I've got an iPhone 11 and it's working fine. Should I upgrade? Well, no. I've got an iPhone 7. Should I upgrade? Yeah, you'll notice it. And this is the point, is that I think for so long, we've all been so stuck in this world of 24-month contracts, signing up with Optus, get your free phone, 24-month contract, $30 a month. And then at the end of that contract, they'd call you and say, what do you want to do? And you say, I want a brand new phone. You get the next phone, you start another 24-month contract. No one does that anymore. So this is why the upgrade cycle has changed. I think 3 to 4 years at best is what you should be looking at for upgrades, which is why it does make sense sometimes to invest in a good phone for that 3 to 4 year period. Because if it's $1,000, yeah, it's going to be $250 per year if you break it out that way. And at that point, after 4 years, you will notice the difference between iPhones. That's for sure. But that's the iPhone 13. The Pro model, it still has three cameras on the back. It looks like a fidget spinner, but it now comes in black, gold, white with a silver or aluminium ring, and the sky blue. I think the sky blue actually looks quite beautiful. The sky blue iPhone 13 Pro would be probably the one I would gravitate to if possible. I really think it's beautiful. The sad part is you're definitely wrapping that in a case because they are not cheap. Now, it's quickly about pricing. Obviously, varies country to country, depending on where you're listening from. But let's go for US, the cheapest iPhone in the US, iPhone 13 mini, $699. In Australia, that equates to $1,199. Not doing a currency conversion, that's the actual price. And then when you think about the Pro will start at $999 US and $1,699 Australian. And the Pro Max starts from Australian $1,849. And at 1 terabyte, it would crack the $2,000 ceiling in a heartbeat. So, you know, these aren't cheap phones, but these are not meant to be cheap phones. They're meant to be the premium end of town, and the pricing certainly reflects that. Does the innovation and the technology upgrades in it reflect that? I don't know. And I won't know until I can get my hands on one, and that may have to be by buying one because no one's going to be sending one. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. Now, after this, we're going to talk about where I think there actually was some interesting developments. We'll talk about the Apple Watch Series 7. We'll talk about the iPad and the iPad Mini. And honestly, guys, that's where you need to be stay tuned for. The iPad Mini, I think, could be the biggest announcement that they actually made this year. There's some other things as well, and we'll get to all of the Apple news right after this. I think it would have been last week when we started to talk about Apple rumors and what Apple could be announcing on the day that we're talking about them. And I think I may have said that one of the strong rumors was that the Apple Watch will get a serious redesign and start to bring its design cues in line with, say, the iPhone 12 with the square edges and things like that. It didn't. So when they announced the Apple Watch Series 7, I thought they hadn't started yet. I thought maybe they were still talking about the Series 6 and then they were going to do a nice transition to what the 7 actually looks like. And it didn't happen. It didn't come. Just like you're waiting for something to happen at the end of the credits of a movie, you're like, oh, don't worry. There's something. They always put something in after the credits. Trust me, they're going to announce something. They're going to show us something. And it doesn't happen. So what you're left with is a watch that looks just like the Apple Watch Series 3, 4, 5, 6. But now this one's called the 7. But the big change here, guys, is actually what they've done with the display. So the watch itself isn't physically much bigger. I think there might be 1 millimeter increase in actual physical size, but they've moved the screen to effectively fall off the edge. So now the screen can effectively start to taper around those curved edges that they do have on the Apple Watch. And it gives you this obviously larger looking display. And they're going to use that display for a number of things. First of all, they're going to allow you to make the clock look even bigger. So if you couldn't see the time before, it will now stretch even larger. The other thing that they're going to start doing is allowing you to use a keyboard on the watch. Now, I remember this being done before. I remember when the Samsung Galaxy Watch, I think it was their first model, it was square. It even had a camera built in. I probably still have it somewhere. It had a camera built in. And you could effectively take photos off your wrist. I think they got rid of that feature because it was creepy. But the watch did have a keyboard. They got rid of it in every watch after that because it's a small screen, meaning a very small keyboard. So I'm fascinated to see how this one is to use because putting a keyboard on a very small watch screen can be very tricky to use, especially if you've got normal sized fingers and not ones that look like toothpicks. However, what's interesting actually about the keyboard announcement was that a company, I think it was called FlickType, about a day before the Apple event, had their app, their Apple Watch app, rejected from the App Store. FlickType was an on-screen keyboard for the Apple Watch. FlickType had been booted from the App Store, and the next day they got to sit and watch Apple announce the same product. How interesting. So poor FlickType, I'm sure they'll move on to something more innovative or something else, but that was interesting to read. However, other changes that have come to the Apple Watch Series 7 is they're saying it's got faster charging. They're saying it's got this always-on Retina display, which I thought it was always on before. The other interesting part, though, is cycling. So now it's got cycling detection, meaning that if you start riding your bike, your watch will say, I think you're riding your bike. And you can say, I am, and it will start to log that as exercise. If you fall off your bike, it now has cycling fall detection, meaning it will say, ask if you're okay. And if you're not okay, it starts to do emergency calling. Just like fall detection when you're traditionally walking. What's surprising here is that if I had fall detection on before and I actually went mountain bike riding and I fell off, did the watch not care because you were cycling and not walking? I think, and I would have to test this and it would hurt, but I would be pretty confident in thinking that the Series 6 with fall detection would have detected if you came off your bike. I mean, it's a fall. Why isn't fall detection just fall detection? That if I fall off my bike, fall off a cliff, fall off my roof, wouldn't it just detect that? Apparently not. So now they're very specific. If you fall off your bike or if you trip while walking, it will absolutely kick in. If you fall down the stairs, it doesn't care. That's a different type of falling. It's not built in yet. That's Apple Watch Series 8. So it's interesting that they've got that now built in. It now comes in five colors. It comes in a black, a silverish, like an army green, a blue, and a red. Product red is here to stay, I believe. So that's the Apple Watch Series 7. They're saying it's got the same 18-hour battery life. It now has crack resistance and water resistance, which had prior to that as well. So crack resistance is interesting. Let's just see what happens. I mean, okay. Let's see what happens. It's going to come later in the year. This is interesting. So the iPhone was announced. Pre-orders will start this Friday and go on sale the following Friday. The Apple Watch, no arrival date yet. They're saying in the fall, which is our, spring or summer. It's later in our year. But what was interesting as well is that the US priced it at $399. And in Australia, in the Australian press release, there was no Australian price given. So we have no indication of when it's coming to Australia and no indication of what it's going to cost when it does come to Australia as well. So if you do want an Apple Watch, you will be probably best getting the Series 6, unless you want the screen to fall off the edge or if you want the on-screen keyboard. That will be probably the biggest difference that you would notice. Also, no major health updates with this as well. We've seen Fitbit and Samsung add some significant health updates, not so with the Apple Watch. It was very much just, it is what it was, and we keep moving on. So interesting stuff from Apple Watch. I almost feel like they could have announced this one later. I think it could have been done later when it was actually going to be more likely to be available soon. But the iPad, and this for me was fantastic. So with the iPad, they announced an original iPad, you know, the bare bones model, the one that you get for your kids when they start going to school. It still has a home button on it. Basic internal component changes, nothing that's going to be mind-blowing. It's just an updated iPad. So if, for example, your kids have never had one, this is probably the one that you would get. Pretty straightforward. It's a new iPad. The iPad mini, however, I don't think has been updated for at least 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9 years. It's been a long time between iPad minis. And the new iPad mini looks like a genuine update. Because the age gap is probably so much, it's very obvious. But what I think Apple really done here is they've said, let's bring the iPad mini in line with the design cues from the iPad Pro. So if you think about an iPad Pro, which has no home button, the screen does push closer to the edges, front, left, back, right, the whole thing. They did that with the iPad mini. On the back as well is not that rounded edge. It's all the square edges just like you have on the iPad Pro. And it's, to me, quite gorgeous. Now, we are talking about an 8.3-inch display. Which for a mini is bigger than it ever used to be because it does push to the edges. It's now got Touch ID in the power button. This is brilliant. I think that is a brilliant thing to do, and it makes me wonder why the iPhone 13 does not have that feature. It just makes sense to me that if Face ID is not working because you're wearing a face mask or whatever the case is, having Touch ID built into the power button, it's already there. It's already there. You just need to put the technology into the button. It's already on the device. And it would have actually even been something that Apple could have said was new about the iPhone 13 compared to the 12. The biggest part about the new mini is it now has USB-C. Again, another thing that comes from the iPad Pro is now on the mini, USB-C. And they're saying that this is because a lot of corporates, even like surgeons, are using iPad minis. It fits into their gowns and stuff like that. So they're saying a lot of gadgets that they use actually connect better through USB-C, and that's one of the reasons why they decided to do that. I actually think it's because it's just a brilliant idea to do, and it just makes a lot more sense. So fantastic that they've done this. I really think they've made this the iPad that you should buy if you can actually afford it. All-day battery life. They're saying it's got stereo speakers on it. USB-C charging, obviously. This thing has got a 40% faster CPU. It's got 80% faster GPU. I mean, that's all great numbers to say when you're comparing it to an iPad, which is almost a decade old. Like, yeah, I guess it should be. And maybe 40% isn't exactly much, but when you compare it over that period of time. But that's what it is. It comes in four colors, like a space gray. I think that's what they used to call it, space gray. Calomel lotion, a purple, which is a little bit more like blueberry vanilla. And you've got this gold looking color as well. So I think it looks great. I honestly really, really like it. If I ever had a chance to buy an iPad again, that could be the one I go for. I think it could be a really handy size to have for traveling. I don't think it will take up too much space in the bag. And it just looks absolutely stunning. It really does. Now, pricing. Do I have pricing on this thing? I don't even think I do. Pricing I don't have, but it's not going to be cheap. From memory, I saw around $999 for the iPad mini. Not a cheap device, especially because it's so iPad Pro-esque. However, the standard iPad, you're usually looking around the $670 kind of price point. But yes, that's the state of play when it comes to tablets at the moment. Samsung have great tablets. Microsoft also do. But generally, when you think about tablets, most people think of iPad. And there's a very good reason why that's the case. They do make really good tablets. They allow more capabilities than they ever used to, whether it's multitasking, split screen. And even the apps on there aren't just big iPhone apps. They're absolutely customized and built purposely for iPad OS. And it's fantastic. And honestly, I'm staring at the stand that I'm using. Everyone should have one of these stands. They're just so damn handy. Now, I do have pricing. Hello, officefortomorrow.com. Have a look at it. You'll see it. The iPad mini starts at $499 US and $749 in Australia, the 64 gig model. Whereas the normal iPad with the home button is actually $329 US and $499 Australian. The one thing that they didn't do with the iPads that they did for the iPhone is the iPad still starts at the 64 gig variant. The iPhone starts at a 128 gig variant. So it's a bit of a shame that they didn't do the same for the iPad, but maybe they have seen that more people obviously take photos and videos on their iPhones than they obviously do for an iPad, and probably for good reason. Other announcements that came from Apple on the day. Apple Fitness Plus will now have Pilates classes. If you're interested in Pilates classes, that's another reason to pay for Apple Fitness Plus. And you've now got the ability to work out with a friend. And it's using that, share play or something like that, where effectively you could join a class and then you can almost FaceTime me within the app and we can start doing a class together. A small little window shows up with the video of you working out and you get to see the video of me working out. There is no situation on the planet where I actually want to be seeing you work out from home. There is no situation where I'm thinking, gosh, I'll be so much more motivated if while I'm doing star jumps and out of breath, I could watch you doing star jumps and be out of breath as well. There's no situation on the planet where I ever want to do that. If we're in a gym doing a class, I'm not looking at you. I'm probably looking at the instructor. If I'm spending more time looking at you working out, something wrong. I do love the idea of having group workouts, and I've done that in a virtual sense, whether it's with Peloton or Echelon. And that's different because it's more of a leaderboard. You can see people, but not actually see them working out. You can just see their vitals coming through or their numbers coming through. That gives you a chance to work harder to beat them. But you don't actually have to watch them sweat it out, do you? Anyway, it's a new Fitness Plus feature. And they made spent a bit of time talking about Apple TV Plus and talking about new shows that are coming to that or existing shows with new seasons and so on, which again, you would probably expect. If you're going to take on companies like Netflix, you kind of do need to keep making content. It's literally what people are paying that monthly fee for, is to keep watching new content. What is good news for everybody out there who does have an iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch? Even if you can't afford these latest devices, you'll be getting the software version of Christmas, and that's through iOS 15. iOS 15 will land on the 20th of September. So when you wake up in the morning on the 20th, go to settings, general, and then about, I think it's about, and do the software update. It's always, to me, software updates are Christmas morning wrapped up in a gadget. It literally is that chance where you can wake up and go, well, I'm about to get a new phone. It literally feels that way. I'm getting a new phone. And you let it do the update, you go for a shower, you come back, and there is your brand new phone sitting on the table waiting for you to start using it again. You look at all the new features, it feels brand new, it feels better, you start to love it a little bit longer. I think, and I can confirm this later, I think that the iPhone 6S will get iOS 15, meaning devices that are way old are still going to be able to get these updates. So yes, if your phone is about 3 or 4 years old, it's no problem. You'll get iOS 15. If your phone is 4 years old, yes, welcome. You'll get iOS 15 as well. So another reason why you don't need to rush to upgrade your physical hardware of the phone, just doing these updates just give you that little boost, little hug from Apple to say, we still got you. And I do appreciate that. I think it's something that all brands should be doing. Now, it is important to say, it is really important to say that we didn't get AirPods. We didn't get new AirPods. Though something about Mary ones still exist. They still exist and they still sell them for an exorbitant price. And it's crazy in the world that we now live in where literally earbuds are being sold by any brand that's ever made a gadget. And they're so much better than they ever used to be. They have noise cancellation. They have ambient noise. They are small. Their battery life is phenomenal. And here is Apple not doing anything about their AirPods, and they're becoming outpriced and outclassed when it comes to their AirPods. And I think it's a real shame that they haven't updated them yet. I do think, and you know, quote me on this, I do think that in October, we will see another Apple event. I just think that we're not done. I don't think we're done. I know people were expecting a MacBook Pro update and potentially just a general Mac update. We already had the iPad now. We've had the watch. We've had the phone. I think we're due, heavily due, for a Mac and at least an AirPods update for sure. Will there be a HomePod change? I don't think so. I just don't think anyone cares about them. You know, they've had a really good crack at it. I just don't think anyone cares. I just don't think that they do. I don't think people look at Siri as the voice assistant they want to talk to when they get home. I think they're happy to have that just as an assistant in the car when they really have no other choice but to talk to that one. I think that's when they're more likely to accept it. I think when they get home to their wife, their partner, they're reliable. And that's Google Assistant or Amazon's Alexa. It's reliable. It knows what you're talking about. It knows what you're trying to say. Siri just doesn't get it. That's why you only see them when you're in the car. Now, that really is everything that Apple has announced. It was a good event. I do always love, and one thing I really recommend people do is if you're on Spotify, check out the playlists. The music that they play in all of their events always give me new songs to listen to. I then jump on Spotify, I type in Apple Event 2021, and someone's already compiled that playlist of the music that they used, and it's fantastic. I still go back and listen to some of the ones from WWDC, I think 2020. It's a Good Day to Be Dreaming, I think was the song. I love that song, and I didn't know about that song until Apple used it in one of their briefings. So thank you for that, Apple. Thank you for introducing new music to us. Stay tuned. Next week, we'll be talking about everything else, probably not just Apple this time. There has been quite a bit of news to discuss, and I can't wait to talk about them. To give you a bit of a sneak peek, next week we're going to talk about a new soundbar. Can I talk about it? Yes, we can. We can talk about a new soundbar from Sonos. It's the Beam 2. I'll give you all the details about that. I may even have it here by then, so I might be able to give you a bit more insight. A new product from Amazon that's going to take on the Chromecast. We can talk about that in detail. Xiaomi is looking to make smart glasses. I tell you what, those Ray-Ban ones from Facebook, I mean, I loved them. I spoke about them on the show. I wrote about them on Office for Tomorrow. But the hysteria around the privacy has really surprised me. And, you know, judging from the messages and contact I got from you guys, it doesn't seem like that much of a big deal. But, you know, people like to beat up on Facebook sometimes. I get it. So big show next week, and I look forward to talking to you all then. Trust me, there is so much going on, and I have to keep looking at my whiteboard next to me to know when I can and can't talk about certain things. So stay tuned for everything. You'll hear about it all right here on Technology Uncorked, and you'll also read about it first and foremost on officefortomorrow.com. Have a great week. Look after each other, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.